I've been talking on God Knows Your Name this last couple of times that I've been here, and I'm just looking at Moses and getting down to it to show that Moses at the burning bush, that God knew him. And thank God that God knows us. He knows us inside and out. Knows everything about our lives. He knows the deepest cry of our hearts. You know, he knows our longing. You know, whenever you walk with him as well, he knows your desires for the move of God and things like that. God knows you inside and out. And God knows us by name. Amen. You know, in the burning bush, he was able to say, Moses, Moses. Straight away, knew his name. Knew where he was. Moses called to deliver the children of Israel. You know what he tried to do it himself, as we said, ends up in the wilderness for 40 years, you know, unlearning a lot of stuff that he had learned, getting like Egypt out of him. And we looked at the importance of that, having a detox. You know, it's important for us to change our thinking, change the way we look at things. But then we seen last time we were together was showing how that, you know, one day after 40 years, Moses is walking, and in the distance, wherever, how far away it was, it must have been a good distance, because he seen this bush that was burning, but it wasn't burning out. So he keeps looking and looking and looking, and it's not burning out. And he's looking, he's saying, not there, things not being consumed. What on earth is going on over there? And you know what? He turned direction. And he started to go to that bush. And it just was shown last week the importance of waiting on God. That principle of waiting on God. And I want to look again at that day, because I felt like I was rushing the end of that. But, you know, waiting on God is a key to us doing what it is God's called us to do. And Moses, he's in the wilderness for 40 years, but he's watching. He's observant. You know, I said many times as Christians, you know what, and they're like, their eyes are painted on their head. In other words, they can't see, they're not observant. You know, they're saved and going to heaven, and they're just getting on with their day, but they're not expecting anything. But you know, as Christians, we need to be people that our eyes are on God, to where we're looking and we're beholding him. You know what, we think about him all the time, throughout the day. It's not just on a Sunday morning that we think about him. You know, I know we have other things to do, and you get on with the things that you have to do. You have responsibilities in life. But you know what? When you're going through your day, you're still conscious of God. There was a famous monk who wrote a book, you know, practicing the presence of God. And it was all about being conscious that God is with you no matter where you are. And he was working in the kitchens. And he was conscious the whole time that, you know, God was with him. That, you know, as a believer, we've got Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen. We've the Holy Spirit in us. And he never leaves us and he never forsakes us. And, you know, as a believer, we can live conscious of God throughout the day. And no matter what we're going through, you're talking to him, you're thinking about him. And when it comes to the call of God, because with Moses, it was his destiny was to be the deliverer. You know what? God hadn't given up on Moses. Moses just wasn't ready. And you know what? God hasn't given up on us. And sometimes you can feel like, God, there's dreams in me and they don't seem to be coming to pass quick enough. Don't give up. Keep looking. Right. Waiting on God is not, God has a plan for my life, and you know, whatever it will be, and whenever it comes, it comes. No, that's not waiting on God biblically. No. Biblically, when you're waiting on God, there is a time period with waiting, because it's waiting. But it doesn't mean that you're lazy. It doesn't mean that, you know what, you get on with your day, God has something for me, and then you never think about God. That's not waiting on God. No. Waiting on God is like a waiter, we said, or a waitress who is watching the table. And they're focused on the table. In other words, waiting on God is not passive, it's active. Yeah. It's not, I'm waiting on God and then I'm passive. No. I'm just doing nothing. Waiting on God is expectancy. Waiting on God is when you're believing, God, that door could open for me today. God, that favor, that whatever it is, you know what, that person, I could meet someone today. I could, you know, could set me in a direction, open a door for me. That's the way you live. You know, when you live with hope deferred, the Bible says, can make the heart sick. So you have to be able to deal with disappointment as well if you're going to be a person of hope and expectancy. Some people don't know how to deal with disappointment. If you're a person of hope, you will face disappointment. Amen. But if you have no hope, you're going nowhere. That's right. Amen. So you have to be able to deal with that. Sometimes when there's a delay doesn't mean it's denied.
Exactly.
Amen. You know what I mean? It just means there's a delay, and sometimes, and it's in our time many times. Now, some people have this thing, you know what, all in God's time, and there's a place for God's timing in certain things, okay, because God knows when we're ready. But then there's other people talk about, you know, the timing of God, and what they're sitting doing is like, you know, all in God's time, and they have no part in it. No, there's us being ready.
Yeah.
There's us preparing. There's us being expectant.
Yes.
It's all being done in time as well. It takes time to prepare. It takes time to get yourself ready. Like for the call of God upon my life, I know I've done many different, like, you know, courses that I've done and different things just to study. I've listened to people, I've learned, I've served in so many arenas because it's all got to do with development and preparation. It wasn't passive. I wasn't saying God's a call for my life and it's all in God's time. No, within time, there's things that I was doing, being prepared, sitting under the Word. Going to Bible school, doing all of those kind of things that I needed to do for the call of God upon my life. Amen. I was doing courses whenever I couldn't, there wasn't somewhere for me to go. I sent away for a correspondence course where I had done a correspondence course where I was going through things in the scripture and sending things off and stuff. The call of God is by the grace of God, okay? But you still have to prepare. You have to allow that grace then to be functioning in your life and getting the flow of that grace. And so I there was things I was doing. So I wasn't just sitting waiting, you know what, I'm waiting on the Lord and doing nothing. All in God's time. I hear all of that stuff all the time and I'm like, what do you mean by that?
Yes.
Because yes, there is things. God knows when you're ready.
Yes.
God loves you so much that God's not going to throw you out to the wolves whenever you're not ready. Amen. God will make sure you're prepared, but if you have something for your life, get ready for it. That could be in business. Are you getting ready for it? You know, if it's ministry, are you getting ready for it? Whatever it is God's called you to do, are you preparing?
Exactly. Amen.
It's not just, you know, passive. It's active, but it's active in faith. It's active with expectancy. Amen. So when you say in God's time, what do you mean? Like there's a lot of things that, you know, are in God's time that they're out of our time, okay? But there are certain things that we're working with God in time. You look at anyone in the scriptures, they got prepared. Even Moses in the wilderness, he's being prepared. He's being prepared during that time period. He is being prepared. He is getting that shepherd's heart put in him for those 40 years. He's going to be leading people. Amen. Whereas in Egypt, he was a commander. History lets us know that, you know what, he was a general in the army. But the Bible lets us know in Acts chapter 7 about him as well that he was mighty in word and deed. So he was doing mighty deeds and he was mighty with his words. He could just speak and things get done. He's going from all of that there to leading. Amen. Leading people as a shepherd. You know, completely Egypt thinking to God's thinking. He was being prepared for 40 years, but he was watching. And so when he seen that bush in the distance, he was watching. I'm so glad that he was watching. And that's how we're to live, with expectancy. Are we still watching? Or are we going around with our eyes painted on kind of a thing and saying nothing? Not even looking at the things of God, so focused in everything else, or discouraged, or with, you know what, caught up with anything, controversies that happen in the body of Christ, or, you know, all of these kind of things, war, politics, all of them kind of things. You know what, politics can rob you.
Absolutely.
It's okay to know what's happening in the world. I'll know what's happening. You know, I watched President Trump being put into office, all of them. I can see what's happening in the world. I know it. But you know what? I'm not going to sit feeding on it like, you know, with like a drip coming into me, like, you know, constantly sucking on the news and stuff like that, because it just robs from you. The Bible tells you certain leavens to watch out for. One of them is the leaven of the Herodians, and it's a political thing. And you have to watch out that you don't allow allow that little bit of leaven to get in, that it distorts everything, that you're not looking at God. You see everything through politics. Even like I see it with ministry, so much of ministry is all about politics. And it's like, you know what? Yeah, there's a place for politics. We live in the world, but preach the word.
Amen.
Amen. Preach the word.
Amen.
I don't need a message about political leaders all the time and everything. I need to hear the word.
Yes,
there's things happening, but we need the word.
Amen.
The word is what changes our political view and changes everything anyway. I have a biblical view. And then you have the leaven of the Pharisees, which was religious. You know what? Some people just get religious. And then you have the leaven of the Sadducees. And they didn't believe really in much of the supernatural and stuff like that. And just these little leavens get in. It's because people watch stuff and listen to stuff. And, you know, it's like I was sharing the other night in a service. I was just sharing that, you know, there's Christian Sadducees. And a Christian Sadducee is someone like, you know, it's like a cessationist.
Yeah.
A cessationist is someone who believes everything ceased with the apostles.
Right.
Yet you've no scripture for that. We live in the church age.
Amen.
So they believe everything passed away. So when the last apostle, you know, died, like, that was it, everything was over. The last apostles died. But that's not true.
No.
Because the church age just kept going on. Amen. And, you know, there's people listening to stuff, and I know what it does, it distorts them. It stops them watching for what it is God has for life. Their eyes are on everything else. It can even be in Christianity.
Yeah.
But it's all things that's robbing your faith and your expectancy in God.
Come on.
And, you know, I've no time for that. Yes, I know. People send me videos. Watch this. Watch. Sometimes I stick it on because I don't know what it is. So I put it on 2 seconds in. All it is running down every minister in the body of Christ. And I'm like, I don't need that.
No,
they may be doing wrong things. They could be doing really wrong things. But I don't need to feed on that. I'm not naive. I'm not stupid. But I'm going to protect my expectancy.
Exactly.
Because I want to live watching. My life isn't based on what somebody else said or somebody else done. My life is based on the word and what Jesus done.
Amen.
The last time I looked, he's doing all right.
Yeah.
Amen. He's okay.
Yeah.
He hasn't lost his joy. I'm not going to lose mine over what other people are doing in the body of Christ. Protect your expectancy. It is so important. I know people abuse things and all the rest of it, but I want to stay expectant.
Yes.
So no wonder my eyes are blinded because of what this person done and that person done and what they said and what this one's doing and all the rest. I'm not accountable for them.
That's right.
It's like what Jesus said to Peter, don't you mind what I have for John? You just get on with what I've called you to do. Feed my sheep and feed my lambs. That's your responsibility. Stay focused on that, Peter. You'll do all right. I know what I'm called to do. I plan to stay focused on it. Whatever you're called to do in your life and whatever it is, whether it's ministry, work, things that you're stepping into, stay focused on that. You're not responsible for everybody else and you're not responsible for other people's actions.
Amen. Amen.
That's a recipe for stealing your joy. Other people's actions, they did this, they said that. So what? I can't control what they do. I can't control what they say. They don't like you. I've had people come to me, Paul, they don't like you. That person there doesn't like you. I love them.
Yeah.
I'm only responsible for my response, not what they do. So if they don't like me, that's their problem. I love them. And I'm going to love them more now. Amen. It might make them hate me more, but you know what? I'm going to stay in love.
Amen.
You can't control other people's actions. And for us, we need to stay with firm expectancy. Amen. Look at this verse here again. It's really worth looking at. In Psalms 123. Sometimes, you see, to get something embedded in you, you don't hear it once. You have to hear it and hear it and hear it. It's like learning your tables in school. Yeah, you didn't get them the first time, unless you were a genius. Like, but you know what? Most of us didn't. You know, we had the repetition, hearing it over and over and over again. Alphabet, you had to hear it over and over again. You don't remember now when you learned the alphabet per se, because it becomes a part of you. But at one time, you had to learn it letter by letter. With your numbers, you had to learn it number by number, division, whatever, subtraction, all of those kind of things. Now you can do it a lot easier. But at one time it had to go in, and it went in through repetition. And that's the way it is in the things of God as well. You don't get it one time. You have to ask yourself, right, well, there's a week has passed. Am I living expectant? Was I expecting this week? Am I looking unto God this week? Or was I distracted by so many things? And then you learn, oh, I need to get back to that. I need to be active and looking unto God. Live my life before Him. Amen. Because Psalms 123 verse 2, it says, behold, as the eyes of servants look onto the hand of their master, and as the eyes of maiden onto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until He has mercy upon us. What is it saying there? Just like a waiter or a waitress, a maid or a servant in that situation, what you're doing is you're watching your master, you're watching the one that you're serving. What are you doing? You keep an eye on them. No matter what you're doing, you're aware because you're there with that eye on them to serve. All they have to do is go like that and you're there. Yeah. That is a good waiter or a waitress. I mean, if we think of it, if you go out to a restaurant or something, someone that's distracted, not even looking, don't see what's happening. You know what? They're not a good waiter or waitress. You maybe there's something missing off your plate, or I asked for a drink 5 minutes ago. You know what? And need the drink now, you know what, they're coughing here or whatever, you know what I mean? It can be anything, like something simple, like, you know what, I asked for chips out there, but you know what, they're not here yet and my dinner's going cold. Something like out there, and you watch some of them and they're just moving about, they're not even watching. But you always know when you go in somewhere and you find someone that's watching, they're a good one. All you have to do is that, they're over to you. Or if they're doing something, they say, I'll be with you in 1 minute. And they're there straight away because, you know why? They're observant. They're watching. Moses was watching. People who wait on the Lord are watching. And this is what it's like. Sometimes it's like God with us, and we're doing everything else in God's. And we're just too busy. We're doing everything else. Oh, I'm too busy. I have to give out to somebody today. You know, I'm too busy. I'm offended with that one today. And we're caught up with different things. Or do you know what? I'm upset with the body of Christ. I'm upset with this minister. I'm upset with that minister. And all of those kind of things. And God's sitting the whole time. Yeah. And can't get our attention. Because we're not watching. But you see someone that's living before God. When God goes like that, they say, here I am.
Yeah.
Amen. That's like with Ananias. Here I am. That's the way we're meant to be. Here I am, Lord. Let me look as well over to... let me just look at something here as well. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter 12, there's a portion of Scripture here, and it's talking about being ready. And it talks about like waiting on the Lord, okay? But I'll just throw this out when I go here. It's the same when you go to Matthew chapter 25, okay? There's parables in Matthew 25, talents and the 10 virgins and stuff like that. I remember whenever I taught on stewardship years and years ago, and I was looking up and I was researching on stewardship. A steward is someone who manages their master's goods, somebody else's goods. It's like a banker, you know, they manage, but they don't own, okay? Now, difference is with us, we've been made joint heirs with Jesus Christ, so there's a bit of a difference there, amen? We've been brought in, everything is ours because we're in Christ, but at the same time, it's we're stewards of it, you understand? We've been brought in on it. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. It's, you know, there's stewardship principles there. But when you look at the talents, okay, over in Matthew 25, there was one had 5 talents, one had 2, and one had 1. The one with the 5, they went and done something with it, and they got another 5. The one with the 2, they done something with it, they got another 2. And the one with the 1, he did nothing with it, buried it. You know, did nothing with the money. And then what happens is you read the story. I can remember when I was studying out and doing things for stewardship, and I'm thinking like, I'll have to work out how to work this here, because it looks like based on that, if you just taught the doctrine of it, that if you do nothing with your one, you're going to hell. And then I realized, you know, that's not what it's saying. This was years ago looking it out, because that's what happened. The one with the one, he was wicked, and he went to the place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. What it's talking about there, you learn the principles When I taught stewardship, or any time I teach that, I teach the stewardship principles that are in it. But the doctrine there, it applies to those that go into the kingdom and those that don't. It applies to those that were ready and those that were not ready when the Lord returned. It's the believer and the unbeliever, it's the goat, the sheep and the goat. And the whole doctrine of it is to be ready. That's what it's talking about. It's the same with the virgins. What is it about? The whole doctrine of it is to be ready. That's what it's about. I've heard some weird stuff taught over the years on the 10 virgins. I've heard people say if you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost, you're not saved. That's not what it's talking about. That's not even what it's mentioning. People saying, and then people teach, if you don't have oil, you're not saved. And so they put everybody into works. And I've seen that there are Christians running around trying to get oil. Oh, I have to have oil. When you got saved, you're the Holy Ghost living in you forever. That doesn't even apply to us. We're in the new covenant. That is about being ready for going into the millennial kingdom. Amen. Let me tell you, we're going to rule and reign with Jesus in the millennial kingdom. We're already ready. Once you're saved, you're ready. You have the Holy Ghost who lives in you. You have the oil in you. Yes, get baptized in the Holy Ghost, but that's not what it's talking about there. The doctrine is being ready. It's the same here. The doctrine is being ready. That's what it's talking about. But when you're looking at waiting on the Lord, that's what it means. It means to be ready. When you're when you're waiting on the Lord, you're someone that's prepared. Amen. It's like my son Tyler, right? If he's going out tomorrow, his clothes are picked out today. He is not like me. Amen. He is not like me in that way. Me and Alexis are alike, aren't we, Alexis? In that way. Alexis be heading out to going to school. Alexis, remember your art folder. Alexis, remember your art folder. Get a phone call. Forgot my art folder. Because Alexis is like me. We'd be thinking about a million things. We get each other. Donald said, Alexis, go up there and, put that on or bring that back down. Alexis, go up. And an hour later, no sign of her, not on. Do you know what? Oh, I forgot. I was thinking about something completely different. She comes down, hey, high five her. Good girl. Amen. Good girl. Me and her, we get each other. Tyler, oh, I'm not joking. I come down this morning, there's his bag sitting at the door. Yeah. As for him, his bag was sitting there, ready to go. Goes to the gym. He has everything ready. Everything's sitting there. It's so funny. If he is going somewhere with his friends, all his clothes are out in the bed. He's away to the college. They're all sitting there all day in the bed, and you're looking, going, I don't know. Watch out, everything out. the whole lot. Do you know what? He's ready. Now, that's okay in the natural. We all have personalities, and I'm making excuses for myself. But anyway, Donna's like, oh, Donna has everything hung out the night before and all of the rest of it. It's all ready to go. Nah. No, up, go with the flow. That's me, go with the flow in the morning. What do I feel like wearing? It's always black.
Yeah, okay.
I get up on a Sunday morning, I think, what black thing am I going to wear today? Because I wear black all the time. Amen. Praise the Lord, that's just me. Johnny Cash just got on me. But he's not. He's ready. And that's what waiting on the Lord is active. It's being ready. Amen. Look, let's just read a couple of these things. Look what it says here. Luke 12, verse 36. Look in verse 35. It says, let your loins be girt about, and your lights, burning. No, that means you're ready. Your loins, for them, it's talking about gird up the loins. It means to gird up. It means take the robe of your garment and tuck it into your belt. And that's what they would do. Whether if they were going on a journey, they would be prepared. They're ready to go. It'd be like saying, have your coat on ready to go as soon as such and such pulls up.
Yeah.
You're ready to walk out the door. You're not, where is this and where is that and all the rest of it. Where's my art folder? And not that, you have your coat on you. You're ready to walk out the door. So as soon as they come, you're able to go. Keys ready, everything ready, coat on, all your stuff. That's the same meaning. You gird up your skirt. They say gird up your loins. Means to take your robe, tuck it in. And they would do that. They would do that for going to war. They would do that for going on a journey. In other words, they're ready to go. Just like the children of Israel, when they left Egypt, they had to eat the Passover ready to go.
Yeah.
Amen. The lamp is already burning.
Yeah.
You already have it in your hand. That's ready. It's lit and all ready to go. Verse 36. And ye yourselves, like unto men that wait for their Lord. You see, that's what it means to wait for the Lord. Wait on the Lord. That's what it's talking about. When you are ready. See, this is talking about with the second coming.
Yeah.
And it's talking about people being ready for us. In the new covenant, let me tell you, when we get saved, you know, the Bible lets us know that we are ready. We already have the Holy Ghost. Amen. Verse 37, it says, blessed are those servants who the Lord, when he comes, shall find, what? Watching. Well, actually, look at the rest of verse 36 there. I missed that. It says, and you yourselves like men that wait for the Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocks, you may open unto him, what? Immediately. Blessed are those servants whom his Lord, when they come, shall find so watching. You see, that's the attitude. Watching. And then it says, verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. I tell you, it's amazing. Our Jesus is the greatest servant of all. Amen. And if he shall come in the second watch, that's 9 p.m., or in the third watch, 3 a.m., and find them, blessed are those servants. Why? Because they were ready. Amen. Whatever time it was, they were prepared and ready. It's what happens with a lot of people. A lot of people start out with a lot of enthusiasm, exciting. I'm looking on to the things of God. I'm exciting. And then time goes by and they lose their enthusiasm. Maybe their expectancy got hurt. Maybe their heart got a bit bruised or whatever. And instead of building themselves up and encouraging themselves, they just get discouraged and discouraged. And they just go on to, you in God's timing. I'm waiting on the Lord, but they're not waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord is done on purpose.
Yeah.
It's active. It's watching. It's ready. It's a lamp burning.
Yeah.
See, we can take those principles.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I can take the principles of that. It's a different time period for a doctrine, but I can take those principles and apply those principles to my life, and so can you. You can just keep reading on there, but the point that it's making is being ready. Amen. And when you go down and you'll see the doctrine of it that is talking about, you know, you see what happens with the ones that weren't ready, okay? And that's why, you know, you have to watch when you look at things with doctrine, and then you can take principles. Principles are good. That's a, waiting on the Lord, principles are always good wherever they are. But it's, amen. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Now, I'll just read these couple of verses out quickly, but I'll call them out here. Psalms 37 and verse 7, it tells us there, rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him that prospers in the way, because a man bringeth wicked devices to pass. What it's saying there is wait patiently. Waiting on the Lord is something that takes patience. Live your life with expectancy. You know, if it doesn't happen tomorrow, praise God. Keep believing God. Doesn't happen next week, praise God. Doesn't happen next month, praise God. Keep your expectancy up. We serve a mighty God. And sometimes it takes patience. Amen. Sometimes it takes patience. And some people get discouraged too quickly because it didn't come to pass in my time frame. Just keep waiting on the Lord. Just keep growing. Keep expecting. Keep looking on to him. Psalms 40 and verse 1, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. You can have faith knowing that whenever you pray, God hears you. When the children of Israel cried, God heard them in Egypt.
Yeah.
Amen. He heard them. When you face things, God hears you. You know, when your heart's crying out to God, you can know that he hears you. But it doesn't mean to say it just because it didn't happen instantly that God didn't hear you. Look, when Daniel prayed, the Bible says his words were heard straight away, but it took 21 days before the answer got to Daniel, but it left heaven 21 days previous.
Yes.
If you look at that portion of scripture, so God hears.
Yeah.
Psalms 40, verse 1, it says, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, just further down from that verse, which is a great talking about all of those things. He brought me out of a horrible pit. Wait patiently on the Lord, amen. As I said last time as well, you know, that waiting on the Lord, it involves your imagination. That's why, because there's hope, there's expectancy in it. So keep your expectancy up when you're waiting on the Lord. Amen. Now, Psalms 25 and verse 5, just quickly with this. I said this last week as well, but Psalms 25 and verse 5, how long do you wait? This is a pattern for our lives. It's living your life with expectancy, walking before God, looking unto Him. Amen. God, I'm ready. Amen. There's all of that involved in it. With the call, God, here I am, I'm ready. God, whatever it is you have for me, I'm ready. If I'm not ready, I'm getting ready. You understand? I'm getting myself prepared for what it is you have for me. But God, I'm living without expectancy. I'm living with my eyes before you. Look what it says, Psalms 25 and verse 5. It says, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. I'll call this out quickly here. Hosea 12 and verse 6. It says, wait on thy God continually. Yeah. This is a lifestyle. Yeah. It's a lifestyle of God, I need you. It's a lifestyle of God, I'm watching you. It's a lifestyle of God, I'm looking on to you. How do we look? I'm not looking out here. You look into the Word, you see who God is. And you keep your focus there. You keep your mind on things above. Your affections on God. To where God is your desires. And what you look on, I'll tell you, what you look on continually, you start desiring. Amen? Psalms 39 and verse 7, it says, and now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Amen? Again, that has to do with hope. And what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Why do we wait? I wait because God's my hope. I wait because God is my hope. Another reason you wait is because God is your provision. You know, when you face things or situations, have you ever been in a spot or a tight spot or whatever? What do? You look unto God. And this expectancy, God, you're my provider, God. What are you doing? You're looking. Your focus is on Him. That God, I'm leaning on you. I may be facing this, God, but I'm not looking at those problems. I'm looking at you. All of these things are in waiting. Jeremiah 14 and verse 22. Are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles, talking about the vanities of the Gentiles, talking about their idols?
Yeah.
So, you know, idols are nothing. Yeah. But our God is real. So it says, are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain? What does rain lead to? Fruit?
Blessing.
Yeah. Blessing. Yeah. Rain is a blessing, actually.
Yeah.
I know, like, we live in a very wet country.
I love rain.
Yeah, but it's a blessing. Well, a lot of people do like the rain. Yeah. But you know what? But as far as blessing is concerned, if there's no rain, there's no fruitfulness.
Right.
You end up barren. So, biblically, when you talk about rain, it's a blessing.
Yeah.
You know, if there's no rain or if there's no dew on the ground, then you end up, you lose everything.
Yeah.
But look, idols can't bring rain. Idols can't bring blessing, but God can. It says, "Or can the heavens give showers? Art not thou He, O Lord our God? Wherefore we wait upon thee, for thou hast made all these things." When you face things, when you face situations, what do? You wait on the Lord. Look back, or look forward actually to Psalms 104. Many have ever been there in the need.
Yeah.
And you go, God, I need you.
Yeah.
Amen, I need you. I need you right now, Lord.
Yeah.
Amen, I'm looking to you. God, I can't. Everything, it looks like everything's turned off. It looks like the water's turned off in my life, kind of a thing. But Lord, I know that you're my God and you look after me and you meet all of my needs.
Yeah.
It's like Isaac, God told him to sow in the famine. Sow in the famine. Nobody else was sowing, but he sowed in faith.
Yeah.
And you know what? God came and watered that. So that's the only way it could have been done. Yeah. Amen. And he brought in 100-fold. But you know what? God was his provision in the famine with Elijah. God was his provision.
Amen.
In the famine. God's our provision no matter what we face. Psalms 104 and verse 27, it says, "These wait upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season, that thou givest them that gather. Thou opens thy hand, and they are filled with
good."
With good. Amen. God opens up his hands and fills your hands with good. Why? This expectancy is faith. I'm looking on to you, Lord. You look after me. Amen. So waiting on the Lord affects you even in your natural arena of life. Look in Psalms 33. Just this principle is something, as I said probably last week as well, it's just something I've come into this year with just a few things. Encounters with God that I've been thinking about and talking on. But just part of it is just that expectancy of just looking to God. And just been looking to myself and just saying, God, am I focused on you the way I should be? Is my heart towards you the way it should be? You know, there's nothing wrong with reassessing things and just making sure, God, am I thinking about you throughout the day, or is other things taking up space in my life? Do I need to declutter some things? Is there some things I just need to get out because I'm focused on other things and not focused on you? You know, it's like sometimes you need to clear out the house. Sometimes you need to get all of the stuff out that you don't need. And you know what? It's like the parable of the sower sows the word. The four types of ground. The productive ground had less in it. And sometimes we have too much in our lives. And it takes our distraction away. And I've just been looking and just thinking again to myself, just, God, am I focused the way I need to be? Am I looking to you? God, am I in a place where I'm staying ready for what it is you've called me to do? Am I looking to you so that if you do that, I'm straight away? Or am I going to be full of excuses?
Yeah.
You know, Moses ended up full of excuses, but actually he was ready to go.
Yeah.
He just needed a wee push start. He got too much of a detox in one way. I'm only joking, do you know what I mean? But he needed a push start kind of a thing. But there was a great deliverer in Moses. Look, Psalms 33. It says here, verse 18, it says, "Behold, the eyes of the Lord are upon them that fear him." That's put God first. "Upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in" what? "Famine." Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. You see, that's what expectancy is. I can be facing something. It can look dire. It can look like it's a famine, but God's my help. Amen. I look to the hills from where my help comes from. I'm keeping my eyes on Jesus. Psalms 25. Psalm 25 and verse 4, it says here, "Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." Waiting on the Lord. Why wait? Because it affects your guidance. It affects where you go. It affects how you're taught, how you lead, how you're led, I mean. When you wait on God, you're looking to him for instruction. You're looking to him for guidance. You include him in everything. God, is this the direction I need to take? God, is this the way I need to go with my life? God, is this what you have for my life? This decision, are you in it or am I making this decision? That's an attitude where you wait on the Lord. You want his guidance. You want his help in everything that you do. Amen. Isaiah 64 and verse 4, it says, "Since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither has the eye seen, O Lord, beside thee, what he has prepared for them that wait for him." God is more for you than what you know. But if you wait for him, he'll teach you, he'll guide you, he'll direct you. These are why the things why we wait for the Lord. Amen. Why wait for the Lord? Because your deliverance comes from God. Psalm 62 and verse 1. Psalm 62 verse 1, it says, truly my soul waits upon God, from him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Amen. Now, Psalm 62 verse 1, truly my soul waits upon God, from him comes my salvation. God is my deliverer. God is my protection as well, and my defender. Psalms 59. There's lots of these scriptures that talk about waiting on the Lord. There's so many benefits. Psalms 59 and verse 9, it says, because of his strength will I wait upon thee, for God is my defense. Because of his, see, that's that attitude. God, I'm waiting on you. God, I need you. God, you're my strength. I'm facing something that's bigger than me. You're my strength. You're the strength of my life. Psalms 25. Praise God. Psalm 25. And verse 20. It says here, oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Amen. I put my trust in thee. Redeem Israel, O Lord, out of all his what? Troubles. You see, I'll read this quickly as well. Isaiah 33 verse 2, it says, O Lord, be gracious unto us, for we have waited on thee. Be thou their arm. It's talking about our strength every morning, our salvation also in times of trouble. When you face trouble, when you face difficulties, wait on the Lord. So many scriptures like this here. Why do you wait on the Lord? Because our strength is in him. As we've often quoted this scripture, those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Amen. There's so many benefits to waiting on the Lord. Focusing on him. Looking to him. If anybody's ever been there with no strength?
Yes.
It's like David cried till there was no more tears left to cry. Depleted.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What do you do at that stage? You go to your rock.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You go to the rock of ages. Because he doesn't get weak. He doesn't get weary. He doesn't faint. Amen? And you can plug into the rock. Amen? And you be like energized. And you know it's his strength. Because you know it wasn't you. You know it's him. Amen? It's like Alexis has one of them wee yokes, them wee power banks. And you know what? This comes in handy for traveling, knowing we're traveling or going anywhere. And she's a wee power banker and she can plug in anything, you know, iPad into it or plug in her phone into it or whatever. Whenever, you know, there's strength in that. This getting weaker and weaker and weaker. But you know what? Boom, in you go and there's the strength coming. That's the way it is. None of us are strong enough in ourselves. But if you wait on the Lord, you'll renew your strength. And if you live a lifestyle of that, you'll stay strong. You stay strong in the Lord. There'll be times you come up against other things that might wind you and knock the heart out of you. But you know where to go because you've been living a lifestyle of that, waiting on the Lord continually. Why wait on the Lord? Another reason is so that you don't throw in the towel. That you don't faint. That you don't give up. Psalms 27 and verse 13 and 14, David said, I had fainted, or I had to give up, I had to quit, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Why is he saying that? He has had plenty of experience. Go and look at David's life. Do you see everything that David went through? But he learned how to wait on the Lord. He learned how to watch God's hand. Even at the time when Absalom rose up against him, his own son rose up against him, David had to run. And he still waited on the Lord. What he did is he prayed. He prayed, and you know what they were, and he looked at it, you know, like to go and get the ark and take the ark and all of this kind of stuff. And David was, no, David's attitude was, you know, if God wants me still to be king, I'll be king. I'm just going to look unto him, God, whatever it is you have for my life. That's a heart focused on God. Absalom was focused on himself. But David was focused on the Lord, even in a difficult season. You know what? We know the story of Ziklag when he had, as I said a moment ago, no more tears left. We know whenever Saul hunted him down and all of the, David learned. If you read the Psalms, the raw, there's emotion, there's all of those things. Because David experienced all of those things of emotions. But in the middle of it, you can see I may be facing all of these things. My mind may be telling me all of these things. But I'm waiting on the Lord because the Lord is the strength of my life. David learned how to wait on God continually. Yeah. You wait on God for your call. You wait on God in difficult times. You wait on God when there's pressure on. You wait on God in every season of your life. You wait on the Lord.
Amen. Let me just read out this other verse as well. It goes along with it. Micah 7 and verse 7, it says, therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the Lord of my God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy, when I fall. Why? I shall, what? Arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. That's answers.
Don't rejoice over me when I fall. Why? Because I'm going to wait on the Lord. God knows how to get you to bounce back. Yeah. Amen. God has a bounce back anointing. If you feel like you've been, you know, in a place where the enemy's laughing at you, rejoicing over you, let me tell you, what are you doing in those seasons? You wait on the Lord. It's just, we live a life before Him. Yeah. Live a life before an audience of one. Amen. To where your eyes are on Him.
What a verse. When I fall, I shall arise. When it looks like the lights are out, God's my light. Amen. One word from God could change everything. Amen. It's just like Proverbs 24 and verse 15. It says, for a just man shall fall seven times and rises up again. Amen.
How do you win? You just keep getting back up. But you can't get up in your own strength. You get up in His strength. This is where self-help, you know, self-help crept into the body of Christ, where it was all me, 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 me. It's not all me, 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 me. It's all Him, 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 Him.
Amen.
It's all looking on to Him, looking on to Jesus. Amen. Your strength is in Him. The Lord is the strength of my life. Amen. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I put on the whole armor of God. It's not me and myself. It's I'm strong in the Lord and the power of His might. How do you win? If you're knocked down seven, all you have to do is get up eight.
Exactly.
That's it.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's it. Anytime you're knocked down, anytime the devil wins you, anytime he knocks the heart out of you, anytime you get let down by someone, anytime a Christian lets you down, somebody you didn't expect lets you down, what you do, all you have to do is get up one more time. That is the key. But how do you do that? You do that by waiting on the Lord. By waiting on the Lord. Why? Because He is our strength. Jerry Savelle used to say, knock down seven, get up eight. And that is the reality. That's how we're to live. Amen. And here's the thing as well. When you wait on the Lord, ultimately, you will not be ashamed. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. You get the heart knocked out of you. It does something to you. You feel disappointment. But what do? You go to God. You get back up. Let me tell you, if you keep getting back up and just keep going forward, you will not be ashamed because you're looking to God. He's going to come through. I'll read this out and we'll close this morning. But in Psalms 25, verse 1, it says, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. My God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without a cause. And it says along the same lines, Isaiah 49, verse 23 as well. Thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. And in Romans 5, it talks about hope makes not ashamed. Yes, you can have hope and be disappointed, but you hang on to your hope. You hang on, live with expectancy before God. I love what it says there. It says, and not Psalms 25 again, it says, yeah, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without a cause. Do you know what? You can have people come against you. We've had people at times come against us purposefully. Yeah. And you don't understand why. But what do? Get discouraged? Give up? Yeah, you can get discouraged sometimes. Sometimes you get the heart knocked out of you. But what do? Give up? No. You come before him and you say, God, you're my everything. I need you more than I need anything. More than I need people. More than I need money. More than I need anything. I need you. You're my source. I look to you. And God, I want my life to count. I want to do what it is you've called me to do, and I don't want anything to stop me from running the race that you have for me. I'm looking on to you. You start living on, looking on to him. You're drawn from him. And you know what? God gives you strength. And I tell you, you will not be ashamed when you look on to him. Amen? Because you'll be able to say, and you won't be able to take the credit either. Either you'll be able to turn around and say, look what the Lord has done. You'll say, God's been good. It's only for God. This is some people, oh, it was me and it was my ideas and it was this. And no. I was in darkness. God brought me light. I was in the pit. God delivered me out. Amen. That's the attitude you have. I had no hope. God came to my rescue. I had no strength. God was the strength of my life. Amen. It looked like it was over for me, but I kept getting knocked down. But you know what? God, I looked to God and he's the strength of my life. I got back up, but I didn't get up in my own strength. Amen. I got up in the strength of God. That's how Paul did it. How did Paul do it? You read over in 2 Corinthians. He said, well, we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. And that's where he looked. And he went through hell and high water. But where did he look? He looked onto God. God was the strength of his life, bringing him through all of them things. David would have quit. Paul would have quit. Peter would have quit, only for God. I would have quit. You would have quit. Only for God. Yeah, that's right. The Lord is the strength of our lives. Amen. I'm not that strong. You're not that strong. But he is. Amen. Amen. He is. Amen. He's that strong. When people see joy in you, when people see when you should have quit, when people see, you know what, how you keep going, how do you keep going? How do you keep going at the minute? God. God. Not, oh, I have a really strong mind, I have a really strong will. Everybody's will comes to an end. But I tell you, when the Lord's the strength of your life, you get back up. You keep going. Amen. And it's to the praise of the glory of his grace, the Bible says. To the praise of the glory of his grace. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus.